Well, let's pray together as we come to the scriptures this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you would help us to understand what it means to walk by your Spirit, so that we are men and women who are living the Christian life in freedom and in grace. We ask, Father, that you would send your Spirit now to bring your word to life for us, and that you would speak into our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me start off by telling you about three Christian people who were all facing particular challenges in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this comes with the usual kind of disclaimer that any similarity to people here present is entirely unintended and coincidental. Particularly if your name is John or Christine or Ray, I am not thinking about you. So three people who are facing particular challenges in their walk with the Lord Jesus. John. John's been a Christian for a while. He's a respected and a mature member of the church family, and he helps lead a small group. But things at home aren't going too well. John and his wife have three small children, and those small children don't always do what they're told. And John often gets irritable and short-tempered with them, and sometimes he just loses it completely and flies into a fit of rage. His wife sometimes wonders who has the bigger temper tantrums, her husband or her toddler. She's even started trying to keep the kids away from him, because he gets so upset. John knows that his anger is a real problem, but he doesn't know what to do about it. Or Christine. Christine is involved in the women's ministry at church. She helps out with the mums and toddlers group. She belongs to a lunch club, and she's a member of a women's Bible study group. She loves being with all those different people, and she loves finding out what's going on in their lives. And she can be a bit of a gossip. She loves picking up little tidbits of information about people and then dropping them into other conversations. Over the years, she's been the cause of a number of damaged relationships. And in her more reflective moments, she knows that all is not right with her Christian life. Or Ray. Ray is a member of Vestry, and he helps out with the men's ministry. But he also struggles with pornography. Late at night, Ray is glued to his computer screen and is feeding his addiction. When he wakes up the next day, he hates himself and he's eaten up with guilt. Three different people who are all struggling with different issues in their Christian lives. And what does it mean for them to live as Christians in the face of those patterns of behavior? Does it matter? And if it does matter, how can they bring about change and transformation in those different areas? Well, our passage today deals with exactly these kinds of issues. To understand it, we need to briefly recap the flow of Paul's argument in his letter to the Galatians. And I hope you've noticed over the last few weeks as we've studied this letter that this is a very alarming epistle. Galatians is a letter that's written to people who made a good start with the Lord Jesus. Paul planted a church in Galatia and these people made a response. But now as he speaks to them, he is warning them in the strongest possible terms. The passage we looked at last week, Paul writes, "Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ, and you have fallen away from grace." Startling language, isn't it? Christ will be of no value to you. You have been alienated from Christ. you have fallen away from grace. This is a very alarming letter, because these are people who seemed to make a good start in the Christian life. But now Paul says they risk being alienated from Christ. Now, this is not just about circumcision. Circumcision is just the physical expression of the real issue. The real issue is about how the Galatians are living their lives. The question at the heart of this letter is, are they living their lives trusting in Christ's death on the cross? Or are they living their lives trusting in their own works? We've seen over the last few weeks that Galatians has as its central message the good news that Christians are justified by faith. To use less technical language, we are people who are put right with God by trusting the Lord Jesus and his death on the cross. I think the great temptation for us is to think that what that means, to think that what being justified by faith is about, is some decision that I might have made years ago when I first became a Christian, and is only about that. Galatians is telling us that being justified by faith in Christ is not just a past decision, but is also a lived-out reality. Christians are people who are living our whole lives trusting in Christ's death on the cross. And in this morning's passage, Paul tells us what that means, and he uses this expression, walking by the Spirit. We live out our Christian lives walking by the Spirit. What does that mean? What does it mean for us to walk by the Spirit? Well, Paul teaches us five things, and we'll run through them fairly quickly. First of all, walking by the Spirit means living in conflict. Walking by the Spirit means living in conflict. Paul is clear that those who walk by the Spirit of God are living in a state of permanent, ongoing, internal conflict. Verse 17, the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Paul knows that Christians are not perfect people, and that none of us live completely holy lives. All of us are still sinful. And yet at the same time, if you're a Christian, you are someone who has been filled with God's Holy Spirit. And so every true Christian person is a person in conflict. I have a sinful nature, and I'm filled with God's Spirit. And so my normal, everyday experience of being a Christian is an experience of conflict, of having a sinful human nature that wants to do one thing, and of being filled with God's Spirit who lives in me and leads me in a different direction. How does that help John, Christine, and Ray? John with his fits of temper, Christine causing gossip and dissension, and Ray looking at internet pornography. Well, while it doesn't in any way excuse what they're doing, the fact that they are experiencing conflict about their behavior is very encouraging. They are not comfortable with the patterns of sin in their lives, and they want things to be different. They're feeling this conflict between their sinful nature and the Holy Spirit. So walking by the Spirit means living in conflict. Secondly, walking by the Spirit means that you're free from condemnation. Verse 18, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now, Paul has already taught us that if you want to live by the law, then you're obliged to obey the entire law. And since none of us can completely obey God's law, to live under the law means to live in condemnation. But the glorious truth of Galatians is that for Christians who are led by the Spirit, we are not under law. We're put right with God because of Christ's death on the cross. And we are therefore free from condemnation. And this is wonderful news for these three people, for John, Christine, and Ray. There are patterns of sin in their lives, and yet they stand before God without condemnation. But it's vital that we tie that point to the next one. So thirdly, walking by the Spirit means you have crucified the sinful nature. Yes, we have been set free. Yes, we are not condemned. But that freedom is not freedom to sin. Our freedom, as John Wesley puts it, is freedom from the power of cancelled sin. And Paul is clear that those who walk by the Spirit are those who have turned decisively away from sin. Verse 16, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Now, as I've said, all of us still have a sinful nature. But to walk by the Spirit means to live life that aims to please God. This is a radical turning away from sin. Paul makes the same point using even stronger language in verse 24. Look at verse 24. He writes, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Christians are people who have taken their sinful natures and have actively nailed them down and left them to die. Verses 19 to 21 give us a description of those works of the sinful nature. Four main categories. First is the category of sexual sin, sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Then religious sin, idolatry, and witchcraft. Then relational sin, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. And then finally, sins that relate to loss of self-control, drunkenness, and orgies. And Paul is crystal clear, verse 21. Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this is not justification by works. This is justification by faith. Those who trust in Christ and are filled with his Spirit will not live like this. And that means that John can never become comfortable with his anger and his bad temper. Christine must never accept the envy and the jealousy and the gossip that comes out of her heart. And Ray dare not think that it is okay for him to be looking at porn. And the risk for these three people is that they become comfortable with their sin and they make half-hearted responses. This passage tells them that they are not fighting sin alone, that God's Spirit lives in them, that he will strengthen them, but he won't strengthen them to deal half-heartedly with sin. He will strengthen them to kill sin, to crucify it, to nail it down, and to put it to death. Walking by the Spirit means that you've crucified the sinful nature. Fourthly, walking by the Spirit means that God grows his fruit in your life. And at the heart of this passage lies those beautiful verses that we've already read together, verses 22 and 23, which tells us that people who walk by the Spirit are people in whom God grows his fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is not something that comes from law keeping. You see, you can make laws that try and stop people from stealing. You can make laws to try and control people. But you can't pass a law that forces someone to love. You can't legislate for kindness and patience and gentleness. So for John, struggling with his temper, he gets irritable and sometimes loses it and flies into a fit of rage. Rules will not help him. What he needs is God's Spirit to grow in him the fruit of patience and gentleness. Christine gossips about people because she's jealous and she has a heart that is envious. And rules will not help her. She needs God's Spirit to grow in her the fruit of love and kindness. And as Ray's life risks spiraling out of control, seeking satisfaction from pornography, he knows bitterly that rules will not help him. He needs God's Spirit to grow in him the fruit of joy and self-control. And fifthly, walking by the Spirit means living in the community of God's people. This maybe is not immediately obvious from these verses, but these verses are not written to an individual, but to the family of God's people. And putting these verses into practice is not something that we do solo as individuals, but something that belongs in the life of the family of God's people. Verse 25 and 26, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." It's clear from this passage and from the rest of the New Testament that we are not supposed to live our Christian lives alone. We do not live in glorious isolation from one another. I'm not supposed to try and deal with envy, jealousy, and dissension on my own. God's family is here to help me. And for Christians, change is a community project. And John, Christine, and Ray should not be struggling with these issues alone. Walking by the Spirit means living in conflict. Walking by the Spirit means you're free from condemnation. Walking by the Spirit means you've crucified the sinful nature. Walking by the Spirit means God grows his fruit in your life. And walking by the Spirit means living in the community of God's people. Let me try and paint a bit more of a picture of what that might look like for these three people. So John, struggling with his bad temper, who gets irritated so easily and sometimes flies into fits of rage with his kids. What does it mean for him, practically, to walk by the Spirit? Well, first of all, he needs to seek the loving support and wisdom of his Christian friends. He needs them to be praying for him. And this is really hard, because John's small group does not usually talk about this kind of stuff. When they share their prayer requests, it's usually about Great Aunt Brenda in Brisbane who has a sore knee and how busy I am at work. But John needs help. And he needs to talk to his friends about this. And with his friends praying for him, John needs to put the gospel to work. He needs to say sorry and to ask for forgiveness. He needs to say sorry to God. He needs to say sorry to his wife. And he needs to say sorry to his children. And his sorry needs to get right down to the real hard issues that are going on for him here. He needs to sit down with his wife and say, "Honey, I'm sorry I get so angry. I realize how selfish I've been. I realize that my expectations of our children are completely unrealistic. And I beg you to forgive me." And with his friends and his wife praying for him, John needs to ask God to grow in him the fruit of gentleness and patience. He needs to trust the power of God's Holy Spirit to transform him. And then he needs to live out that miracle and to start walking by the Spirit. Christine, with her tendency to gossip and her unkind words, again, needs the loving support and wisdom of her Christian friends who will pray for her. And again, this is going to be really hard. It's going to mean coming in front of the women's group and begging their forgiveness for the harsh words that she's spoken over the years. It means repenting and coming to God and asking for forgiveness for her desire to be the center of attention. And she needs to ask God to grow in her the fruit of love and kindness. She needs to trust the power of God's Spirit to change her. And she needs to live the miracle and start walking with the Holy Spirit. Change may come slowly. She may need to say sorry many times more. And she will need to keep praying about this. But our all-powerful God has made a promise to her. And Christine can trust that promise. And for Ray, who keeps looking at pornography on the internet, what does it mean for him to walk by the Spirit? Well, like the others, Ray has to realize that he cannot handle this on his own, and that his little secret has to stop being a secret. It's going to be incredibly painful for him to bring this out into the open. Maybe he needs to get a small group of two or three trusted mates and start off by telling them. Ray thinks that they'll be disgusted and that they'll never talk to him again. But to his amazement, they love him. And they're committed to supporting him through this. Ray needs to repent. And he needs to say sorry to God for behavior that may have been going on for years. And he needs to ask God to grow in him the fruit of joy and of self-control. He needs to trust the power of God's Holy Spirit who can change him. And he needs to live the miracle and to walk by the Spirit. Change may come slowly. He may need to say sorry many times more. He will certainly need to keep praying about this. But our all-powerful God has made Ray a promise, and Ray must trust that promise. Well, let me finish with a word to you if you're part of our small groups here at St. Alfred's. Many of you will be meeting this week, and you'll be studying this passage together. Can I ask you, as you look at Galatians 5 in your small groups and your growth groups this week, to be sure that you understand two vital things. First of all, can I beg you to be sure that you understand that change is a community project? And this week in your small group or in your growth group, will you talk together about where God is convicting you of sin and where his Spirit wants to grow his fruit in your life? It may be that you've never talked at that level before, and it may be that you want to split the group into men and women talking separately. But this is the agenda of what our small groups must be about. And secondly, as a small group, can I beg you to be sure that you understand that we live by faith and not by law? God changes us by his grace as we trust his promise. He doesn't change us by us screwing up our eyes and trying harder in our own strength. So take time in your small group this week to make sure that you truly understand this. It's so easy for us to be saved by faith and to live by works. And that is exactly the temptation that the Galatians were falling into. But that is not the freedom of the life that Paul is pointing us to. Brothers and sisters, we are saved by faith. We live by faith in glorious freedom. And we walk by the Spirit, who changes us and grows his beautiful fruit in our lives. So let's pray that God would do that work in us today. beginning of chapter 5, Paul writes, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." So, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the freedom that you have won us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you that we can walk by faith with your Spirit as children of promise. We pray that you would better help us to do that and to understand what that means, and that you would grow your beautiful fruit in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.